Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer? Whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
If you grew up in a colder climate, your parents always told you that you'd have to dress in layers all the way down to your socks. But if you grew up in a warmer climate, you were told to wear lighter fabrics and colors so the sun's heat wasn't too intense on your body. These are more than just pieces of advice that have been passed down from generations. They have foundations in science. On Weather Geeks today, we have Dr. Nicole Mulders, who is the leading expert at the intersection of weather and fashion. And we're going to dive into her latest book about this certainly and appropriately geeky topic. Dr. Mulders, thank you for joining us on the Weather Geeks podcast.
No, thank you for inviting me, and hello, everybody.
Yeah, it's really an honor. I mean, I've followed your work for many years. We've even published some similar work on urban precipitation before, so I've always been aware of your work. And when I learned about your new book, I said, we have to have you on Weather Geeks. But before we get into the book and all the weather fashion geeking out, I always ask my guests this question. How did you become a weather geek?
Well, I grew up in West Germany, and my father liked to talk with radio broadcasts from all over the world. And one day he got one from the Ukraine, which was at that time still the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. And they were talking in German because there is a German minority. And they said that they were discussing deviating the Siberian rivers to the south to for irrigation. And that would change the climate. And I said to my dad, why would that change the climate? Then he said, they didn't say. And so that kind of got stuck with me. And then in the 70s, these Sahel droughts, the colleagues of my father went down with something that's similar to the Peace Corps to plant trees in the Sahel zone. And that didn't work out, not because the science was wrong, but the shepherds were thinking, well, my animal has hunger, and they let them eat the trees. So they didn't shut up. So they made things even worse. So that got me into it.
Oh, wow. I see. I'm curious. Again, let me give the listeners and viewers a bit of your background before we continue our conversation. She's a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And is the founding chair of the department from 2005 to 2013. And she's also the first female professor in the history of University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute. So congratulations and thank you for your pioneering spirit there. She's the founding editor-in-chief and member of the editorial board of the Swiss Journal Climate, and is also on the editorial board of the Swiss Journal Atmosphere. She's published over 100 peer-reviewed journals and 2 books. She has a bachelor's and master's in meteorology and a PhD in geophysics at the University of Cologne in Germany, habilitation in meteorology at the University of Leipzig in Germany as well. So clearly, this is someone who is an expert. We like to have experts on Weather Geeks, and so we have certainly found one. Before we really get into the discussion of the day, I'm curious how you found your way to the University of Fairbanks, Alaska. Or University of Alaska Fairbanks, I should say.
Well, the first contact with respect to this was that my advisor was a friend of Rudor, who was in the 80s one of the directors. And he came to Germany and was talking about the Halley comet that was in 1985, 86. And well, the auditorium was crowded. We were sitting on the stairs. And that was the first time I ever heard about the Deep Geophysical Institute. I had no clue that it was, let's say, a university attached to it or involved. And then when I spent my sabbatical in the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, I kind of, after lunch, I went always in the library. And so I saw this EOS ad for, the position in Fairbanks. So I called my husband, who couldn't come with me for the sabbatical because he was involved in fire research and was doing experiments, burning furniture for research, yes, identical. I will not say whose ones are that, but you can imagine. And so I called in and they said, hey, I saw an EOS position announcement, and the only thing that's missing on it is my name. And he said, well, apply. I said, well, it's in Fairbanks. And he said, apply. And I said to him, do I'm that Fairbanks is in Alaska? And he said, well, apply. Okay. So I did. I got, I was still on my sabbatical when I got basically invited. That I will have a phone interview basically in the week that I just came back to Germany. So we had that really big time gap in between, and I was so jet lagged. But, well, I got the position.
Wow, congratulations. A very interesting pathway. And as I was sitting here thinking, as you said, do you know that's in Alaska? Not only is it Alaska, it's deep into Alaska as far as major urban environments go, which is well inland. I think if people think about the geography of Alaska and where Fairbanks is located.
It's in the heart of Alaska. A really continental, cold, dry climate. Well, we have our what I call the rain season, but what people here call, locally, the locals call the Arctic monsoon, which is, of course, not a monsoon. It's the precipitation in August when the cyclones move back down to the Gulf of Alaska. And
So it's really interesting because I like to paint multidimensional pictures of scientists because I like you, I have interest far beyond weather and climate. One of the things that I know you're interested in is fashion. And in fact, I know you manage, I believe, a fashion blog and have written about the topic
hobby,
for years. So it's a hobby, and that's right. But it's the basis for our discussion in this podcast. But how did you get into fashion?
Well, I guess that's having a Barbie doll, and my favorite thing there was basically making clothes for her, right?
Okay, so you just kind of picked up an interest from the notion of sort of the Barbie dolls, and I know there's quite a bit of talk about Barbie in recent years with the movie that has come forth and has been very successful and has multiple layers to that story, as from what I understand.
I haven't seen it either,
but has done quite well. So when we come back from the first break, I want to dive more into the intersection of your two passions, weather and fashion, after this break.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We are back on the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia, and I'm speaking with Professor Nicole Mulders from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I was fascinated because she has a new book that just came out entitled Discover the Relation Between Fashion, Fabrics, Weather, and Comfort. And she's holding up the book for those of you that are watching it on the Weather Channel streaming app. This is just fascinating to me. And in fact, I have to say, I wrote a Forbes article several months ago on why some of my kids, my son and his friends, like to wear hoodies in the middle of the summertime, you know, these large fabric hoodies. So there's actually a slight fascination that I have with this topic. But tell us about your book and why you decided to write it.
Well, as you said, I have published several books, and the first book was Land Cover and Land Use Changes. And I ran at the airport into my former boss, who had just taken over the lead of the University of Alaska Press. And so we were just killing time. And she said, "What will be your next book?" And I said, "I haven't thought about it. I still have to finish my lectures in morphology. Probably that." And she said, "Well, you should do a book on fashion and weather. You could do that." And that kind of got stuck with me. And so I was pregnant in quotation mark with that since 2011. And well, in 2021, basically, when we had all this COVID stuff, I started reading literature all on the physics of clothes, and then assigned it to knock it down to basically the physics that's related to the comfort, because there are a lot of people that die due to weather, to heat strokes, and also to hypothermia. And if you would look at the absolute numbers, of course, it's more for the hot climates. But if you look at the relative numbers, it's more for cold climate. And when you look at how people inappropriately dress, sometimes you see in the middle of winter here, people with shorts and a t-shirt sitting in the car. What do they do when the car breaks down, right? But my motivation was also kind of related to the environment. Because when you buy clothes that are, as you said, appropriate for the season, you not only put yourself into thermal, physiological discomfort and heat stress or cold stress, but you also have, there is a likelihood that you don't wear these clothes so often, and that they basically get discarded before the end of their lifetime, which of course is a waste of resources. And with the increasing world population, We have the limited resources. We have basically to look after that we have enough resources to basically dress everybody, right? And on the other hand, to produce enough food. And so we can't waste our resources. And when you basically have something in your closet and you don't wear it, it's kind of like not only taking real estate, it's kind of wasted money and wasted resources.
Right. So yes. So really interesting. And I'm glad you make the point, because I think it's something that is often missed in the public, which is extreme temperatures are often the deadliest weather in the United States on an annual basis. It's not tornadic storms or hurricanes or lightning strikes. It's the extremes associated with heat and cold. And so I think you really framed that perfectly. I know the book dissects sort of fabric structures, materials, colors that are best for people to wear in the different climate zones, if you will. I know that 31 or so are on the planet. What are some of your favorite recommendations for the book as it relates to fabrics, colors, clothing, and the various climate zones? What are some things that just jump out?
Well, I think that it's really important to wear sun-safe clothing, sun-protecting clothing. And it's amazing to me that
what do you mean by sun-safe? I'm sorry. There was a little delay and lag, so I apologize.
The sun, you can check that easily by holding it again, a piece of clothes against the sun. And when you see the sun through it, then it's not sun safe. And I think it's really important to avoid that you get skin cancer. My father had that. And so I'm a little bit curious about it. And it's really important that you wear sun safe clothes. That's, I think, an important thing. And it's also important to not overdress in so far as that you have too many clothes on, because then you sweat. And when you go out into the cold and you sweat, it may recondense and freeze. And that will make you cold. On the contrary, if it's hot, you want basically moisture-wicking clothes and fabrics, so that the sweat goes away from the skin, so that you are not have kind of notion of sweat on the skin, and so that it evaporates. And most of the fabric has the advantage that it's not only evaporation on your skin, but also on that fabric outside itself, so that sweat goes away. And why you sweat is basically to cooling, evaporative cooling. And you know that probably when you come out of the shower, then you feel a little bit cold, and that's because of the evaporative cooling of the water drop that's still on you until your towel you feel probably cold. At least at winter practice. Maybe nice in hot climate.
Yes, I'm thinking, my son, I have a 16-year-old son, and he wears a lot of dry fit clothing, that dry fit material that we're seeing. I don't know how popular it is in Alaska, but I imagine it's certainly there. Is that dry fit material an example of this wicking material that you're talking about? Or is it, why is it called dry fit? I've always been curious.
Because it keeps you dry.
Yeah. So it certainly.
You put H mark. Because the sweat evaporates. There is a lot of research on producing smart fabrics that basically evaporate your sweat, especially for athletics and athletes, so that they don't get overheated. And there's also research, but that's kind of more in the military part of cold weather clothes. The famous example are basically the bunny boots. They are not used anymore, but they were basically developed for the Korean War, then they consist of an inch of wolf felt. Outside it's basically rubber glam, inside it's rubber glam, and they have also kind of a valve, to pressure valve, so that you they are really popular among Alaskan bush pilots. But unfortunately, you can't buy them anymore except in secondhand stores. But that's kind of, you can't walk in them.
Right.
But it's kicked your feet for them.
Correct.
I have a colleague who wears them with her shoe inside because she couldn't find the pair in her socks.
So when we come back, I want to ask you about how your studies and your book frame the future of climate and clothing as our climate changes in certain ways. We'll talk about that after the next break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia. I'm speaking with my colleague, Professor Nicole Muldus from University of Alaska Fairbanks. And you know, go check out this book, Discover the Relation Between Fashion, Fabrics, Weather, and Comfort. That's just a book that you don't see every day in the field of meteorology. You know, I frequent weather conferences often, but it's certainly one that makes sense. I mean, your book, I'm sure, dives into how heat and cold temperatures impact the human body. Yeah, you've talked a little bit about that in terms of energy exchanges and moisture exchanges from the body. I know I have a colleague here at the University of Georgia, Dr. Andy Grunstein, that talks about sort of wet bulb globe temperature and the sort of ways that the body interacts.
That plays a big role.
Yeah, no, maybe, I mean, since I mentioned it, talk a little bit about, I imagine you may talk about the wet bulb globe temperature. Why is it becoming more of a preferred mechanism when we think about heat or temperature in the body?
Because the core temperature of our body, and it's over a certain amount value, then we experience heat stress, and when it's below a certain value, then we experience cold stress. And with heat stress, this can lead to death and with cold stress that can also lead to death. And why the globe temperature is important is because we don't only have one side. So one side is exposed in one outside to the sun or where it ever should be, and the other to the shadow side. That means we have different temperatures at different part of our body. And when we now get too cold, then our body goes into survival mode. It tries to shiver, and when that doesn't help, then you still have cold stress, then it basically kind of cuts off the bloodstream to what the body in quotation marks thinks is expendable. That are the fingers, that are the toes, and the nose. I had a student who had basically got cold burn, similar to a sunburn, on her nose because she went outside at 40 below without a mask.
Wow.
And walked home for half an hour. And so it was windy a little bit. So she had then, due to the wind, it's feeling even colder, she had a cold burn.
Wow.
So
I've never heard of cold burn before. I have to admit that's something I may have heard of what you're describing, but I haven't not heard of it referred to in that way before. You know, before I get into sort of the shifting or changing climate aspects, your book discusses clothing history. You talk about how fashion and textiles evolved over the years, both physically and economically in terms of production. Do you think that it is moving still in the right direction, particularly in light of your discussion about weather and climate? Is the clothing industry and the textiles and the fabrics evolving in the right way and fast enough?
Well, the textile industry can have an impact on climate is basically due to overgrazing. When you want to increase the production of cashmere and wool, and if you have overgrazing, that basically means that you not only use fertile summer soil, but it also impacts the water and energy cycle. And so it has also temperature impact, it has precipitation impact. Then there is a big thing now with respect to renewable resources, with respect to fabrics. And that sounds good when you hear, oh, this is bamboo, and bamboo grows like crazy. But you really have to look, as it says, virgin bamboo, or whether it says just bamboo. With just bamboo, it's basically a regenerated fiber where basically the bamboo is turned into polymer bulk, and then that's run through a spinneret into some chemicals and to produce the fibers for the yarn. And these chemicals are health adverse for the employees. So there is research on improving that. Some have already adapted it, but that's a bad thing for not only the environment, but also the health of people, for the human resources.
Yes. And I know that there, you know, clothing now has taken all kinds of turns and innovation. There's SPF in the clothing and so forth. And it's just really an exciting time. You know, as we kind of draw to a close here, are you seeing any things about weather and fashion that need to evolve in light of changing climate? I mean, not from the sort of sustainable growth side of the house, but as we see places experience more extreme temperatures or perhaps extremes in terms of rainfall or other types of things?
I think there should be more education on how people keep themselves in thermal comfort, because with high temperatures, you have the risk of dying from heat stroke. And with low temperatures as the other extreme, you can buy from Wilsonia. I think people should be more aware of how they protect themselves with clothing, whether it's with respect to UV radiation or whether it's with respect to summer comfort. And when it's windy, they should be aware that that basically feels colder than it actually is. And so there should be some more education about the relation between how you or how your body feels the heat or the wind or the cold, for people to be more savvy when they dress. It's not only about style, it's also about self-care. Yes.
Which the last thing that I want to say is, you know, this has been fascinating. Again, the book is Discover the Relation Between Fashion, Fabrics, Weather, and Comfort. Where can people find the book?
They can, the easiest way is basically find it on Amazon. And just Google it and find it on Amazon. There is a paper version and there is e-version. So whatever you prefer. Of course, you can also order it via Goodreads or Barnes & Nobles. But the easiest way and fastest is probably Amazon, because you can get also the e-copy.
Are you on any kind of social media or have any websites that people wanted to follow you?
Yes, I am. That's highlatitudestyle.com.
Very good. It's really been fascinating to speak with you. Certainly, we appreciate you getting up early in the morning there in Fairbanks, Alaska, to join us, Professor Mulders. Thank you for joining us on Weather Geek.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure talking with you, as always.
Yes, it's really great to get the chance to speak with you in person. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepherd from the University of Georgia, and we'll see you next time on Weather Geeks.